this week and your bookmark is still in there, all you got to do is open up. We're in the same place. It's going to be Matthew chapter 26, and we're starting at verse 14. And 14 says, "Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, What will ye give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time on, he sought opportunity to betray him." Skip to a couple of verses to 19. "And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them." Previously, Jesus asked them to go ahead and prepare the feast of the Passover. So 19 says, "The disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the even was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. So, the title today is two titles, actually. The first one is for people my age and up. The title is What He Taught Us Through Betrayal. The title for people my age and down is Last Supper and Chill. Last Supper and Chill. The interesting thing is, so this is never really stood out to me before, but it's a pretty crazy scene if you think about it. If you put yourself in Jesus' place, so he's with 12. These are the 12 individuals that he chose to teach and instruct and to walk with him and to talk with him and to be closest to him. The word says that one of those 12 that Jesus chose was Judas. Judas was the one that would betray Christ. But the odd part about it is, how many of you, knowing that someone is going to betray you, knowing that someone's been talking behind your back and plotting against you, would then say, go ahead and prepare dinner because we're going to eat again? I don't know about you, but if I am privy to that information and I know people don't like me, the first thing I say, well, if you don't like me, then you don't have to be around me. I really don't care. But that's not good enough in the kingdom of God. So, of course, Jesus being the ultimate example shows how you should behave. Not only did he foreknow what Judas was going to do, he was still chosen to be a part of the 12. Not only was he chosen to be a part of the 12, he was invited to prepare and have the Passover with Jesus. And then 24 goes on to say, "The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him. But woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born." Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, "Master, is it I?" He said unto him, "Thou hast said." Skip to a little bit down to verse 30. And it says, when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus saith unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. And so this is all odd. I can imagine how I would feel as one of the 12, whether it was Judas, Peter, whoever, John, Andrew, whatever. So we go to this dinner, and this Passover feast is to celebrate the Exodus. This is Jewish liberty, basically, our escape from Egypt. This is what the Passover celebrates. So this is a joyous time where oftentimes traditions, they would tell stories about the Exodus. They would eat and sing hymns, and it was a good time. This is a proud moment in our history. But as this conversation around dinner is happening, this is good. We're with Jesus. We're all, just say we're all disciples. We're hanging out. And Jesus starts saying really odd things. In the midst of celebration and singing, he's like, somebody's going to betray me. And then he says, then the scripture says, as they kept eating, then he goes on and they're like, well, who is it? And what was a happy time is now sorrowful. It says that they were exceedingly sorrowful just because of what Jesus had said. This is not typically what we would discuss at dinner. But I wondered why Jesus could say these things while he was surrounded by these 12, and he could still say things like, one of you is going to betray me. All of you are going to be offended by the things that I'm saying and the things that are going to happen. And I thought about why would he, it wasn't a I told you so, or I know something you don't, or I know what you're going to do. But why was Jesus so calm? Like, why would, I know he's the example, but why did he handle it that way? Why could he be so cool in discussing who was going to betray him and who was going to be offended and still continue to eat dinner and surround himself with these 12 people? Hinging off of what we discussed last week, we talked about the fulfillment of the scriptures and how good wasn't good enough. And the scriptures that I highlighted are some of my favorites. We have, ye shall preach the gospel. Greater works will ye do. Bind up the brokenhearted. Cast out demons. Those are the scriptures that kind of came to mind when I talked about being better and growing and being able to fulfill those scriptures, being able to walk out this word, all the things that God says and all of the promises, all of the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. So it kind of threw me when Jesus was able to be so casual about being betrayed, especially when some of us have gone through it, whether it been from a family member or a job dismissal or whatever. Nobody likes to be betrayed or let down or disappointed. But the same reasons that Christ was born where he was born, he traveled where he traveled, are the same reasons why he was so okay with betrayal. He was so okay with people being offended, because it, in the scriptures that we have here, it's also for the purpose of scriptures being fulfilled. The healing of the sick, scriptures being fulfilled. The disciples of John said, hey, there's a guy out here healing. And John said, well, if that's what he's doing, then the scriptures are being fulfilled. He is here, make ready. But the scriptures are also being fulfilled when we talk about betrayal. I'll just talk about myself. I have a hard time with betrayal. And the reason is because of a lack of understanding of what was actually happening. There are scriptures that I've read over years and years and years. One that stands out is all things work for the good of those who love the Lord. All things work together for the good of those that love the Lord. Well, fortunately for God, and we might take it to be unfortunately, even the things that we deem to be bad are encompassed in the box of all things working together for the good of those who love God. Jesus had one concern. At supper, it was not betrayal. It was not who would be offended. It was not, even though he foreknew it, it was not about Peter and him denying Christ three times. It was about always, first and foremost, that the scriptures would be fulfilled. And I realize that even in some of our lives, in order for us to be who God has called us to be, in order for us to do what the word says that we can do, in order to have what it says that we can have, in order to be the kingdom that he wants us to be, the bride, the spotless, some things have to go in a way that we don't expect them to go. I will say that in training, even if anyone's been in the military or anything of that nature, they have combat training. And one thing God is really good at doing is making us stronger. If you think about what happened in the garden, Jesus said all of the disciples would be offended. Peter denied him three times. Judas betrayed him. Up to that point, Christ had told them to watch and pray so that you wouldn't fall into temptation. But when they got on the other side of that, Christ was like, you know, Peter wept and he cried and, oh, I can't believe what I did. And Christ never paid that any attention at all. He said, just feed my sheep, feed my lambs. Up to that point, he knew that they were not strong enough to do all of the wonderful things that we read about them doing. There was a time where Paul wasn't strong enough. Clearly, we see the weakness of Peter, even though he's seen and heard and been witness and walked so closely with Christ. But God is good at making us stronger, number one, but he's also good at recognizing where we are. He told them to watch and pray for a reason. It's not about what Peter was saying. Oh, they all said, oh, Lord, and we kind of give Peter a hard time because it mentions Peter, but it also says all of them said that, no, Lord, we will not leave you. Peter's voice was probably the loudest, but they all said it. It wasn't just Peter who denied him. It was all of them. It said they all were offended and confused and scattered. Peter was actually the one that was closest because at least he had the decency to watch from a distance. But knowing that and all of the things that they said and how they were offended, again, it never once shook Jesus because, again, what they thought would be the end was really the beginning. That's really where the work started. Go to, let's skip to, still stay in the same chapter, 36. Verse 36 says, then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and said unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. 39 says, and he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. 40 says, and he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what? Could ye not watch with me for 1 hour? The things that Jesus suffered just in this brief passage, the betrayals, the impending denial, people being confused at what he was doing and what he was saying. Ironically, just a few verses ahead, these are the same guys that said, no, we won't leave you. We won't deny you. And oddly enough, not only would they deny him, would they be offended, but they wouldn't even stay up for 1 hour when Jesus was at his weakest point. But one thing that the scripture says and how it relates to us is that we can expect the same. He says, if you want to reign with me, then you have to suffer with me. But God, why are we suffering? Why do we have to go through? You know, all I want to do is keep a job and provide for my family and eat good. I'm straight. But it's all so that the scriptures can be fulfilled. That's all God really cares about. And I would venture to say that in my life and probably in your lives, you wouldn't be here today had you not suffered some things. There are some things that you've gotten past because you went through it. There are some people that you can talk to and relate to because you've been there. In order for the scriptures to be, we got to look at the whole picture. In order for these scriptures to be fulfilled, in order for us to get better, the God to honest black and white truth is there are some things that we have to suffer. People who don't go through anything are typically weak. They are not fit to be in this battle. They are not fit to walk this walk. It is not for the faint of heart. Jesus said, if you're not fully committed, you might as well turn back around. Oh, what about my dad? If you cannot leave the script, this is scripture. If you can't leave your dad, then you are not ready for this. If you love your mother too much and you need to stay with her before you take on this call, then you might as well go ahead on back, turn on back around, because you're not ready. If we skip, now go to 42. Well, 41, it says, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again. The guys that said that they'd never leave you and they'd follow you to the ends of the earth can't even stay awake for you at your worst moment. And he left them and went again and prayed the third time, saying these words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto him, sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. Skip to verse 50. This is when, and I'll bring you up to verse 50. This is when Judas was with the chief priests and elders, and he betrayed Jesus with a kiss. He said, whoever I kiss, that is Jesus, and that's the guy y'all need to take hold of. When Jesus saw him in verse 50, he said, and Jesus said unto him, friend, wherefore art thou come? Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And behold, 51, and behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest's ear and smote off his ear. Then Jesus saith unto him, put up again thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. 53 I like. It says, "Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels?" It's dangerous not to grab the big picture, even though that they were walking with Christ and seeing the miracles and seeing the signs. Peter still couldn't get the big picture. He said, "Man, this is not about me being offended. This is not how you take up for me. You don't need to take up for me." He said, "Man, I can call 12 legions of angels. What is this all about? Why are you being so peaceful? Why are you not reactionary? Why do we react to so many things? Why are we so easily offended? Why do you look through, you know, if you're on social media, why do you look through your news feed and see people saying different things and having differences of opinion? We have never been so easily offended in all of my times of just being conscious as a child and as an adult. It takes so little for somebody to dismiss you. It takes so little for somebody to write you off." So that made Peter mad. Nobody is going to write off Jesus. Nobody is going to push him around. You're not going to just lay hands on Jesus. But Jesus said, "You don't get it. I can defend myself. But if I do, the scriptures will not be fulfilled. If I don't suffer, if I'm not betrayed, if I'm not alone, if y'all had come with me and tried to get on the cross with me, if I'd have had the support, if I wasn't the stone that the builders rejected, then the scriptures wouldn't be fulfilled." I think that it's never always easy, this life and this walk, especially once you've signed the contract with Christ and accepted him into your life. But I will say that it is always worth it. His promises are true. He's given us tons of examples. He's given us the Bible. Whenever you question, like, "God, what are you thinking? What are you doing?" In his word, the mind of Christ and the way God thinks and the way he moves, they're all contained in this book. And I would venture to say that God hears your prayers about your goals and things that you want to accomplish and even the things that you want to be for him. We want to fulfill the scriptures. We want to get better. But I would venture to say that we're not going to get there without some suffering. We're not going to get there without some loss. It's easy to look at where Joseph ended up and forget what he went through. And some of us just will not be the warriors that God intends us to be without these things. If not for the pit and being tossed into prison, then there is no palace. Again, there's if there is no suffering, then there is no victory. There is no reigning. And so I would encourage you, next time you think about, and Jesus is also like, with this whole supper thing, this might be weird, but there are some people in your life, in your lives, that you owe dinner to. You owe them a last supper. Why? Because through their backbiting and betrayal and denial, it caused you, once you let it go and got up and realized why you went through that, you owe them a last supper. You owe them a dinner. The least you could do is stop being selfish and give them a gift card to a restaurant or something, because if not for them, a lot of us wouldn't be here. A lot of us aren't strong as we should be because we haven't been told no enough, because we haven't been uncomfortable enough, because it's always come easy. A lot of us are so easily frazzled because we haven't been through anything. And whenever God puts you into something, where you're uncomfortable, the first thing we do is pray to get out of it. But some things gotta bake. Some meals gotta cook. Everything is not instant. And the irony is you pray that God will put you on this level. And, oh God, you will use me. And he says, okay, now your intentions are lining up with my intentions for your life. We're good to go. And then immediately something happens and we don't like it. Someone says something. Someone does something that we don't like. Oh, we're in a new position. I swear, I am so glad that I had a couple jobs tell me no so I could land at the job and be in a place where God wanted me to be. I'm so, like I said, I got a lot of gift cards to buy for people that have hurt me and said, I owe them just as much as the people in my life that have always patted me up and, you know, pat me on the butt and rub my scalp and, oh, you're doing well. And, oh, I owe the people who didn't think I could do it, the people who tried to sabotage me, just as much as I owe the people who love and support me. What is the difference as long as in the grand scheme of things, the scriptures are being fulfilled? If I am on my way, if we are on our way to being everything that God has called us to be, some of this stuff is going to happen, but it's all a part of the big picture and the scriptures being fulfilled. We can't look at it as bad. The question is, are the scriptures being fulfilled? And you can't even look at some things as being good until you line it up and say, well, is this fulfilling the scripture right now, or is it going to propel me on the way to fulfilling the scriptures? Judas could have been Jesus' friend, and that would have been a good thing. He didn't have to treat him that bad, but it wouldn't have fulfilled the scriptures. So we got to throw that out. Be careful how you entreat people. Really take time to understand and analyze. And I'm not saying, oh, well, I'm going to stay in a toxic relationship. No. But understand that that toxic relationship may be just what you need so you can get the strength to be all that God has called you to be. Maybe that slap in the face is what you needed. Maybe someone said, maybe you heard something from someone. They said, well, you can't do it. You're not good enough. You're the last person that I would recommend for this position. And it might be somebody you eat lunch with. Keep eating lunch with them. You owe them a last supper. Lord, I just thank you for this day.